Hi, everyone. It's time for another two adventures from the Tales of the Texas Rangers here at 1001 Stories of the Old West.
And now, from the files of the Texas Rangers, the case called Alibi.
It is approximately 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning, July 17, 1948. A large truck carrying sheep is traveling at a moderate speed along Highway 28, leading into Bancroft, Texas. The driver of the truck squints his eyes against the glare of the morning sun, while his sleeping companion stirs uneasily in the blazing heat.
Go on, you darn fool. Get by me. Traveling at that speed in this heat, you'll blow a tire for sure.
Well, what's the matter, sir?
Tourist. Always in a hurry to get no place. Must have been doing 70 at least.
Huh? Who's that?
Oh, that car that just passed us. Going like the devil.
Oh, didn't see him.
Now open your eyes and take a look. There they go, just over that rise up ahead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, it sure is hot.
How'd you know? You've been asleep since the sun come up.
Say, you sore about losing the toys last night?
I ain't sore about losing last night so much. But we've been trucking together for over 6 months and I ain't worn once. Boys, get this sunrise shift while you just snooze away peaceful as anything. Chucks, I won't have any eyes left.
Well, if it'll make you feel better, next place we come to, let's stop, and I'll buy you a beer, okay?
I could stand something to wet my whistle. This heat is awful.
How far are we from the next town?
Bancroft's about 10 miles up, but we can stop the Deacon's. That's his place down there on the right.
Yeah, man, look at those shade trees. Oh, the sheep will go over that.
Yeah, about time we was cooling these tires, too. Hate to have one blow on the road hot as it is.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Deacons, I ain't never been here before.
Well, here we are. Oh, I feel like I've been driving for a week. Come on.
Now, you think the sheep will be all right?
Sure, they'll go for that shade. Well, I guess we're the only ones around.
There ain't nobody here.
Deacon's probably around Summers. Let's sit down here at the counter.
Yeah.
Deacon! Hey, that's funny. Somebody's been here. Look at empty bottles at the end of the counter.
Now, maybe he's out back.
Yeah, could be with his chickens. Besides the coldest beer, old Deacon's got eggs here the size of bowling balls.
Must have pretty big chickens, too.
Biggest in Texas. Hey, where do you suppose you went to? I'm dying of thirst.
Hey, why don't we help ourselves? The beer's right over there in the refrigerator.
No, I wouldn't want to do that. Deacon might not like... Deacon! Hey, Deacon, you got a couple of cash customers.
I ain't going to sit here all day. I'm going to get me a beer.
Yeah, I reckon the Deacon won't mind. Bring me a cold one.
Yeah, right off the ice. Just wait till you...
What's the matter, Jim?
Chuck.
Huh?
Chuck, come here.
What's the matter? What is it?
Look. Look through that door. In the storeroom on the floor.
Huh? Good Lord, it's a Deacon.
No wonder he couldn't hear us. His head's crushed to a pulp.
Don't touch him, Jim.
What do we do?
Better call the sheriff. Come on, there's a phone out front.
As soon as Sheriff George Hoffer of Bancroft County received the truck driver's call, he immediately requested the assistance of the Texas Rangers. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned to the case and arrived at the scene of the crime about an hour later.
Is that all you mean, tell me? All right, but I'll watch you. Well, howdy, Jace.
Hello, Sheriff.
Ranger Pearson, this is Chuck Roberts and Jim Patrick. They're the ones that found the body.
Howdy.
All right. Hello, Ranger.
That's your truck outside with the sheep in it?
Yes, sir. We're kind of anxious to get along, too.
I've already talked to him, Jace. Is there anything you want to ask him?
Yeah, in a few minutes. Why don't you men wait over there? It won't be long.
Okay.
Look at the body, Sheriff?
Yeah, it's out back in the storeroom. Poor fella, he sure took an awful beating.
Is that the door over there?
Mm-hmm. Jace, before you go out there, I want to show you something.
What's that, Sheriff?
Over here. Cash drawers, partly open.
Yeah. Cleaned out, all right. You men touch this cash register?
No, Ranger, we ain't touched nothing. Just the phone when we called the sheriff.
Okay. Well, there's the motive, Sheriff. Robbery.
Kind of business the Deacon did here, he couldn't have had more than $15 or $20 in that thing.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to some people.
Yeah.
How about those beer bottles down at the end of the counter? Were they yours?
No, sir.
Golden box. Looks like the Deacon had a thirsty customer.
Jace, Look here by the refrigerator. Isn't that a blood stain?
It sure is.
What do you make of that?
It looks like the deacon might have been slugged right here. If the man who was drinking that golden bock was sitting at the counter, he could have done it when the deacon had his back turned.
Guess he wasn't hit with a bottle, or there'd be some broken glass around.
It wouldn't have to be a bottle. Could have been anything. Come on, let's take a look at the body. There's some blood here by the door.
Yeah. The body's right behind this barrel, Dave.
He sure did take a beating, didn't he?
Yeah. I figured it must have happened last night around closing time. Else he'd have been found before this.
The deacon do much morning business?
Oh, a little bit. Didn't amount to a hill of beans.
Nighttime seems more logical.
Yeah, I'd think so.
I wonder if they cleaned his pockets out, too.
I don't know.
Guess I better have a look.
Find anything, Jay?
A few coins, some keys, that's all. Sheriff.
Hmm? What's the matter?
Sheriff, get on that phone and call an ambulance.
What? Why?
Deacon, he's still alive. The deacon remained unconscious. His condition was critical. X-rays showed he'd sustained triple fractures of the skull. After the lab crew arrived and went over the store for additional clues, the sheriff and I started checking on people known to be Deacon's customers. The next morning, we were still looking for a lead. Who's next on the list, Sheriff?
Well, now, let me see. There's Dodie Carson, Ranch Road 220. That's about a half mile farther on.
You know him?
Yeah, but he couldn't have done it.
Why not?
He's an old fella. He ain't got the strength to break an eggshell.
KDXA to Unit 10.
Yeah, this may be something.
Unit
10 to KTXA. Go ahead.
Lab reports latent fingerprint obtained at Deacon's Cafe belonging to one John Sampson, age 34, 5 feet 10, 195 pounds, brown hair, brown eyes, ruddy complexion. Released Huntsville Penitentiary January this year after serving two of a three-year sentence for burglary. Subject now employed as ranch hand, Flying B Ranch, your vicinity.
10-4, no other traffic. Unit 10, clear.
No other traffic. KDXA.
John Sampson, huh?
Yeah, what's the matter? You know him?
Name's familiar. I think we pulled him in a couple of months ago. Brawl in a pool hall, if I remember right. Oh, yeah, he's a tough one.
Where's the Flying B located, Sheriff?
It's west of here, about 10 miles past the Deacon.
Hang on. Fifteen minutes later, we arrived in the ranch yard of the Flying B. The foreman told us that John Sampson was out riding fence. I got charcoal out of the trailer while the sheriff borrowed a horse, and we headed for the area where Sampson was supposed to be.
Foreman said he ought to be just over this rise.
Yeah. Oh, there he is.
Where?
Over there by that mesquite. Come on, Charlie.
He sees us, Jake.
Yeah. Ooh, Charlie.
Howdy.
You John Sampson?
Yeah, why?
Ranger here wants to ask you a couple of questions.
What's on your mind?
You ever stop by the Deacons on Highway 28?
Deacons?
About 10 miles down the road from here.
Oh, that place. Yeah, I go in there sometimes.
How often?
I don't know. Once in a while.
You in there Tuesday night, around closing time?
Tuesday? Let's see. It was day before yesterday. No, I wasn't in there.
Where were you?
I was in town.
Where in town?
Say, what is this?
Just answer the ranger's question, Sam.
All right. Tuesday night I was at the Easy Ace there all night.
Where's that?
At the beer parlor and the pool room, Jace. I know where it is.
You say you were there all night, Sampson?
Sure, just told you.
Don't they stop serving beer at midnight?
All right, so what? Pool tables stay open. They serve food there. What's wrong with that?
He's right, Jace. The joint don't close.
Well, you must have come back to the ranch sometime.
I did, after daybreak.
You shoot pool all night?
We had a little game going.
Who's we?
Some of the boys and me.
And you didn't stop by the Deacon's on your way back to the ranch?
No, it was closed.
When was the last time you were at the Deacon's?
I don't know. Monday night, I think.
Don't you know?
Sure, I know. It was Monday night. I had a beer in there.
You sure it wasn't Tuesday?
No, it wasn't Tuesday. It was Monday. Why? What do you want to know for? What
kind of beer do you drink, Sampson?
What kind? Well, I don't know any kind.
You ever drink Golden Box?
Sometimes.
You better come along with us.
I ain't going nowhere. I got to finish checking this fence.
You get on your horse.
I ain't done nothing. Why?
Tuesday night, somebody beat up the Deacon and robbed him. Nearly killed him.
What's that got to do with me?
Plenty. We found your fingerprints all over the place. We took Sampson in and checked his alibi. The manager at the Easy Ace said he had been there all Tuesday night and had left near daybreak. It seemed like the man was telling the truth, but we didn't want to release Sampson until we had a talk with the Deacon. We called the hospital and learned that he was still unconscious. We went back to the sheriff's office. Sampson was getting impatient.
Hey, how much longer are you guys going to keep me here?
Just until we check on a few things.
Now, listen, I know my rights. You're going to keep me here, you got to book me.
We will when the time comes.
On what? Manager at the pool room told you I was there. What more do you want?
Better witness.
What's the matter with him?
How do we know he's not covering up for you? He's no angel, you know. I've had him in here before, too.
And on account of that, you're holding me.
Take it easy, Sampson. If you're in the clear, you got nothing to worry about.
Who said I was worried?
Excuse me, Jay.
You guys think you're fooling with some dumb bunny or something?
Hello.
If you're so innocent, Sampson, why are you giving us so much static?
Now, look, Ranger. Either you got to book me or turn me loose. It's as simple as that.
Right.
You got anything more important to do?
That's my business.
All right, Sampson. I got a deputy outside who'll be glad to entertain you for a while.
What do you mean by that?
You'll see.
Look, I want to get out of here.
You will if you're telling the truth, and that's what we're going to find out right now.
What was that phone call, Sheriff?
The hospital. The deacon's regained consciousness. This is a lucky break for us, Jase.
Yeah, if he identifies Sampson, we can wrap it up this afternoon.
I sure hope so. Of course, Doc says he's still pretty weak. He might not take the question. Here's your room, 121.
Deacon, can you hear me?
His eyes are open.
Deacon.
Uh-huh. Who's that?
I'm Ranger Pearson. This is Sheriff Hoffer.
Pleased to meet you.
What? Deacon, you know me, George Hoffer.
Hoffer?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Tell me, do you know a man by the name of John Sampson?
Who?
Sampson. John Sampson. He stops in your place from time to time.
Oh, yeah. Nice fella.
You know him, then.
What'd you say your name was?
Pearson. Ranger Pearson.
Oh, yeah. Pearson. You come about the eggs?
Eggs? What do you mean, Deacon?
Those are bad eggs, Mr. Pearson. I can't have that. You should have candled those eggs.
What's he talking about, Jim?
I got good customers, Mr. Pearson. You sold me 3 dozen bad eggs. Can't have that. Look, I'll show you.
Now, wait a minute, Deacon. Don't try to get up.
It's all right. I've been out here on the porch long enough. I want to show you them eggs. Right back here in the store.
Now, Deacon. You stay here. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, you do that.
Come on, Sheriff.
Can't have no more bad ones.
What is the matter with him, Jay?
He's lost his memory.
We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers and our authentic story, Alibi.
With the deacon suffering from loss of memory, we knew there was only one thing to do, release John Sampson. We went back to the sheriff's office and asked the deputy to bring him down from his cell.
Well, it's about time. What's the big idea of locking me up?
Oh, pipe down. All right, Joe. I'll take over things.
Ranger. Look, what do you think you're kidding? You ain't got nothing on me.
Right now, we haven't.
What's the matter, Ranger? Did the deacon die?
Would it make you feel better?
Wouldn't make any difference at all. I got an alibi, and you know it.
All right, Sampson, you're free to go. But if we want you again, you better be around.
Yeah, and remember this. If you did do it, we'll get you sooner or later. You're a 2-time loser and still our number one suspect.
So what? You can't prove nothing? Go ahead. Book me. But if you do, I'll sue you for false arrest. Now, what do you know about that?
Go on back to your ranch. But I'm warning you, you set one foot out of this county and we'll pick you up so fast you won't know what's happened.
I go no place. Don't worry.
I'll be seeing you, Sheriff.
Ranger? Yeah, he's so sure of himself.
Yeah, I'm too sure. I don't like it.
Well, what do we do now?
Wait till morning, I guess. Then I want to have another talk with the deacon.
Well, Jase, what do you expect to gain by that?
I don't know. Maybe if we just keep asking him questions about anything, we might pick up an angle to go on. He might remember something.
Yeah, I suppose it's worth a try.
Right now, it's our only hope. The next morning, Sheriff Hoffer and I went back to the hospital. There we learned the deacon had improved to the point of taking nourishment, though he was still suffering from loss of memory. Even with the odds against us, we had to try once more. Deacon?
Huh? Oh, hello.
You remember me, Ranger Pearson?
Seems I do. I seen you someplace.
We were here yesterday.
Yesterday? Yesterday? I'm sorry, I don't know you. I can't remember.
Don't you remember anything?
I don't know. I can't seem to make any sense out of anything. Something's happened.
Look, Deacon, you got a store on the highway.
No, not me, mister. I think you're wrong.
Sure you have, Deacon. You and Mary Ann started it about 17 years ago.
Mary Ann? Mary Ann?
Who was that, Chef?
His Mary wife. Ann.
She died 3 years ago.
Mary? Look, mister, you gotta help me. You gotta help me.
We're trying to.
I can't remember. My head, it hurts. What happened to my head?
Tuesday night, somebody came into your store, robbed you, and beat you up.
Me? Someone done that to me?
Yes, Deacon. Tuesday night.
I don't remember. I can't remember.
Well, Deacon, look, maybe you'll remember something if you just answer a few questions.
All right. Try to help me, mister. Please try to help.
We will. Now, do you remember where you live?
Yeah. I got a house.
You know where?
Yeah. It's out back. It's out back.
Out back of what, Deacon?
I don't know.
It's behind your store. Remember your store?
My store? Oh, yeah. Yeah, my store.
That's right. Now, Deacon, I want you to tell me everything that you do from the time you get up in the morning until you go to bed. Can you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. Let's see. I get up. I fix breakfast.
Oh, wait a minute. You skipped over a lot there.
Yes, Deacon, not so fast. What time do you get up? Do you know?
Early. Daybreak.
Every day?
Yeah, every day. I feed the chickens. I open the store.
Now, wait a minute. You're getting ahead again.
I'm sorry.
Now, what's the next thing you do after you get up?
Shave. Wash up.
Anything else?
Calendar. I set my calendar.
You set your calendar? What kind of calendar?
A little desk model on a roller. Gives the day and the date. Then my bureau. Top drawer.
Did you set it Tuesday?
Tuesday, yeah. It was raining Tuesday. Yeah, I set it.
Hey, Jay, she's right. He's remembering. It did rain early Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Wednesday. I set it then, too. It was a nice morning.
Now, wait a minute, Deacon. Not Wednesday. You couldn't have set it then.
No, I set it. Wasn't raining Wednesday.
Jay, you reckon he did?
I don't know. Deacon, are you sure you set your calendar Wednesday?
Always set my calendar every day. Samantha, don't you believe me? You gotta believe me.
Sure, Deacon. We believe you. Try and sleep now. We'll see you later.
Yeah. Sleep.
If he did set his calendar Wednesday morning, you know what that means, Jason.
You bet I do. Samson could have been at the Easy Ace Tuesday night, but he's going to have another alibi for Wednesday morning. Come on. Let's see if we're on the right track. Forty-5 minutes later, the sheriff and I pulled up to the deacon's house behind the roadside store. In the top of the dresser, we found the calendar. The deacon was right. It was set for Wednesday, July 17th. From there, we went straight out to the ranch where Samson worked. He wasn't around, and no one had seen him. On our way into town, we sent out an APB to pick him up. Then we headed for the Easy Ace pool room.
Well, I don't see him anywhere, do you?
No, the manager's not around either. Let's ask the waiter. Waiter?
Be with you in a minute.
Oh. Howdy, Sheriff. Ranger, what can I do for you?
You know a fellow named Samson who hangs out here?
Samson? Well, I don't seem to recollect.
You ought to know him. He's here a lot.
Huh? Oh, you mean the one that works out the Flying Bee?
That's him.
Yeah, I see him in here time to time.
Was he here last night or this morning?
Oh, it's hard to say. Lots of people here last night.
Was Samson here?
You fellas looking for him?
Look, will you quit stalling?
I was just asking.
Come on, mister. If you know, you better tell us.
It seems to me he was here Wednesday night, I think.
That's not what we asked you.
Wait a minute, Sheriff. What was he doing here Wednesday night?
Oh, just hanging around. He broke most of the time.
Did he have any money Wednesday night?
Well, he seemed to.
How do you know? Did he spend much?
He lost most of it.
What do you mean, lost most of it?
Now, don't get me wrong, Sheriff, but... Hey, Charlie, get that money off the table. We don't allow gambling in here, and you know it. Oh, let's see. What was it you was asking, Ranger?
About Samson. He almost killed a man. You know where he is?
Almost killed a man? Sampson did?
That's right.
Oh. So that's what you're here for.
Did you expect us for something else?
Look, Sheriff, don't get me wrong. Wednesday night, there was a little crap game here. Sampson was in on it. I thought you'd come about that.
Crap game?
Here? Well, not exactly, Sheriff. I mean, well, it started in here. As soon as I saw it, I told him to break it up. Manager, don't allow that sort of goings-on.
And Sampson was in on it, huh?
Well, now, that's what I was going to tell you. A few minutes after I told him to quit, they moved out back into the alley. Well, now, that ain't exactly in here, but it still don't look good. So the manager sent me out to break it up again.
Then what happened?
Well, this Sampson got kind of mad. That's how I figured he was losing. He didn't want to quit.
Did he?
Well, finally, after told him about three times.
You know how much he lost?
Oh, about $20, I reckon. He sure was mad.
$20, huh? Probably every cent of it was Deacon's.
Oh, I ain't saying he lost all of it, because he come in here earlier today and broke a five.
How long ago was that?
About half an hour. Bought a dozen bottles of beer and left.
Where'd he go? You know?
Yeah, the only place I know would be his girl.
Where does she live?
Over the dry goods store on Benner Street.
We called for a stakeout on the pool hall in case Sampson returned. Picked up a search warrant and headed for the dry goods store on Bentner Street.
And there it is, Jason.
Yeah, I see it. Better park around the corner. Yeah, he won't be able to see our car here.
Let's hope he's up there.
Yeah. Those must be the steps going up the side of the building.
They are.
Looks like only one apartment up here.
Yeah, and there's only one door.
That's a break. Somebody's coming.
Who's there?
Police officers.
What do you want?
Open the door, ma'am.
Look, I was sleeping.
Sorry to disturb you. Mind if we come in?
I sure do. I told you I was sleeping.
This time of day?
I sleep late.
Better let us in, lady. We got a search warrant.
For what?
We're looking for John Sampson.
We ain't here.
We think he is.
I ain't seen him in a week. Sure, you can look. See for yourself.
What's your name, ma'am?
My name's Molly.
You say you've been asleep?
Right.
What's this empty beer bottle doing here?
Ain't no law against beer in this county. I drank it before I went to sleep. Why?
Bottle's still cold, and it's Sampson's brand, Sheriff.
Yeah. He must be up here.
No, he ain't.
What's back of this door?
Hey, that's my bedroom. You can't go in there.
Sorry, ma'am. That a closet there?
Yeah, just my clothes in it, that's all.
Stand back, Sheriff. I'm going to open it.
Johnny, look out!
Watch it, Johnny!
All right, Sampson. You almost got your girl that time. Come out of there or we'll blast you out. Throw your gun out first.
Okay. There it is.
Now put your hands out in front of you. Come on. That's right. Put the cuffs on him, Sheriff.
Right, Jay.
She did it, didn't she? She turned me in.
Oh, shut up. You got him, Ranger. Now get him out of here.
Dirty two-time...
Hold it, Sampson. He's not getting off either.
What did I do?
There's a law in this state against harboring a criminal. Come on, you two. Let's go.
In just a moment, we will tell you the results of the case you have just heard.
Now, back to Tales of the Texas Rangers.
Now, here are the results of the case you have just heard.
John Sampson was found guilty of robbery by assault with intent to murder. On October 11th, 1948, he was sentenced to 99 years in the state penitentiary at Huntsville. Molly Andrews was given 2 years in the women's prison at Goree for obstructing justice, as prescribed in Article 338 of the Texas State Penal Code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you and your friends will be listening to our show next week. There are two reasons we are asking you to be tuned in. First, because the case is a very interesting one. And second, because it will be the last performance, for a while at least, of Tales of the Texas Rangers. We hope you've enjoyed this series of authentic stories and that you'll make it a point to be with us for our last show next week. Thank you. Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of...
the Texas Rangers. McCrae is currently seen in San Francisco Story, a Warner Brothers release. The cast included Tony Barrett, Paul Frees, Herb Vigran, Parley Baer, Dan Riss, and Betty Lou Gerson. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Arthur Brown, Jr., and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
Keep tuned for the Standard Hour on NBC.
The Texas Ranger, starring Joel McCrae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Dates and places in the following story are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. And now, from the files of the Texas Rangers, the case called Drive-In.
It is 9:45 on a Saturday night in July 1947. At a drive-in theater 3 miles outside Corvelle, Texas, a boy in his late teens walks between the rows of cars on the darkened lot and approaches an old convertible parked near the exit. In the driver's seat of the convertible, a 15-year-old girl sits watching the movie.
Don't say
that. Is it ready to leave?
You turn that thing off.
I could
just
drive it.
Turn it off. Look at me.
Time to be watching a movie now. You might have to start driving any minute.
They're really getting ready to leave, huh?
I don't know. You should have left 20 minutes ago.
Oh, maybe they want to see the show again. It's a good picture.
Oh.
It sure is a pretty car they got. They ought to have a lot of money.
What do you think I picked it?
How much money you reckon we'll get from her?
How do I know?
You said if we used to get $100, we could get married.
Yeah.
Maybe if we used to get $200, we could go to Dallas for a honeymoon. Could we, Al?
Sure, baby.
Because I've never been to Dallas. You got your gun ready to use on that?
Will you quit your yapping?
Okay. Only trying to make sure everything go good. Sound like you don't even want me here.
Yeah, sure I do, baby. You know that.
Done nothing but yell at me the whole night.
I've been trying to think. This thing has to go off just right. Now, you know what you got to do.
Sure. Reckon you'll shoot them people?
Maybe. If they get me into trouble.
Wish I could be there when you use the gun. You're scared so bad they won't...
Here they come.
Oh, shoot them?
Been watching the car, haven't I?
It's this exciting. I can hardly wait.
Now, don't forget, baby. Uh-huh. Pick me up that spot I showed you. Now, remember, don't drive too close behind us.
Okay,
hey, mister! Mister!
Hey, what's the trouble?
My car's out of gas. Can you give me a ride to the nearest filling station?
Well, I reckon we can. All right with you, Ruth?
Oh, sure, Jim.
Yeah, hop in the back, son. We'll take you.
Oh, thanks a lot, mister. Oh, sure glad you stopped me. My girl and me, we've been waiting 20 minutes for someone to come out.
No.
Did you like the picture?
What? Oh, yes, ma'am. Real good.
We thought so, too. We almost stayed to see you a second time.
Reckon I can turn on my headlights now. Where do they make you keep your parking lights on these drive-ins? I almost miss seeing you standing there.
Sure lucky for me you didn't. My girl's supposed to be home early. Gosh, I feel like kicking myself letting the car run out of gas.
Maybe we can bring you back to the filling station. Might be a long time before you get a ride otherwise.
Oh, you don't have to do that, mister.
Oh, we'll be happy to do it. Are we on it?
Oh, of course you will.
I remember how it was. My wife's folks were always reading the riot act to me for bringing her home late. We didn't have driving movies, then.
Shut up, mister.
Hmm?
What? Right.
When you get to the crossroad, turn left, away from town.
What?
Do like I say. You don't, I'm going to put a bullet right in your head.
Oh, Jim.
Now,
Jim,
look here,
quit son. That talking. Now, turn left.
Oh.
Just so you know I ain't fooling, I'm clicking this hammer back. You hear it, mister?
What is it you want?
You find out.
You won't get away with this, son.
I told you to quit talking.
You're making a big mistake. Why don't you...
Shut up!
Jim, don't argue with him. Do what he says, please.
He's right. You won't live, you do just what I say. Now drive faster. I said faster.
How much further you want me to go?
I'll tell you when to stop.
You have to press that gun so hard in the back of my neck.
I'm keeping it right where it is.
Jim, don't argue with him.
This is far enough. Stop. Now we're all getting out. Out this side, lady.
Younger.
I still got this gun cocked, mister. Now throw your wallet and purse into the car, both of them.
Jim.
Throw them in, I said. Okay. Now start walking down the road. You look back once and I plug you.
Jim, I think I'm going to... Now, just hold on my arm, honey. You'll be all right.
Keep walking.
Half an hour later, the couple stopped the passing truck, which took them into the sheriff's office at Corbell. The sheriff, who was in another part of the county, was notified. He ordered an all-points bulletin to be sent out on the stolen car and requested the Texas Rangers to begin the investigation. Upon arrival at the sheriff's office, Ranger Jace Pearson began taking statements from the two victims.
Now, I'd just like to go over a few things to make sure we have them straight. Mr. Harper, you say you had $37 in your wallet?
That's right, Ranger. And Ruth had five in her purse.
Oh, five and some change, Jim. It was closer to six.
The boy who robbed you, all you remember about him is that he was heavy set and not too tall.
Well, I know he was shorter than Ruth, and she's 5'8". Wish we could tell you more, but it was pretty dark the whole time he was with us. Couldn't get a good look at his face.
Ranger, I just remembered something about him I forgot to tell you before. Don't know if it'll help.
Anything will help, Mrs. Harper.
Well, I did notice that he had his sleeves rolled up right to his shoulders like he was trying to show off his muscles.
I see. Now about this girl the fellow said he was with. Did you... Oh, hello, Sheriff.
Well, howdy, Jay. Folks, I'm sorry I wasn't here sooner, but at least I got some good news for you.
Oh, what's that, Sheriff?
They found your car just a few minutes ago.
Oh, that's a relief.
Where'd they find it, Sheriff?
A couple of miles from where the holdup took place. Just got it on the radio as I was driving up. I told them I'd relay the message on to you.
Well, can someone take us out there?
Well, that won't be necessary, Mr. Harper. They're towing it in right now.
Towing it in?
Yes, ma'am, so they won't destroy any evidence.
Well, I'm sure glad we've got it back.
The fellow that held you folks up, was he working alone?
Mr. and Mrs. Harper think there was a girl in it with him.
That's right. But like we told the ranger, we didn't see her.
She probably followed and picked him up after he ditched your car.
That sounds like the tow truck coming in now. Yeah, that's him.
I expect we better get out there.
I sure hope that little rat didn't get my typewriter.
Typewriter?
Yeah. I was bringing it home to do some work over Sunday. Put in the back seat of the car when Ruth picked me up at the office.
Well, it won't be long before we know if he took it.
That boy seems so nice at first. Well, there's just no telling about people, is there?
No, ma'am.
Especially that one. Back of my neck still hurts where he was pressing the gun against it. Oh, that kid's vicious. Real vicious.
We'll do everything we can to catch him before he gets rough with anybody else.
The car is right over there. I'll make you out a receipt for it.
Well, you have to keep it here?
Only for tonight, till the lab has a chance to go over it.
We'll see that you get a ride home, folks.
Thanks, Sheriff. Let me see.
Oh, wait a minute, Mr. Harper.
Hmm?
Don't touch the door handle. It hasn't been gone over for prints yet.
Oh, sorry, Ranger.
It's all right. I'll just shine my light through the window here.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of. Typewriter's gone.
Oh, dear.
I don't suppose you know the serial number.
No, but I reckon I've got it at home with a guarantee.
We'll alert dealers and secondhand stores in case he tries to sell it someplace.
Honey, didn't you have a package in there, too?
Oh, why, yes. I almost forgot about it. A couple pair of stockings I bought this afternoon.
Where'd you buy them, ma'am?
Herger's dress shop.
You mind telling us the brand and size?
They were Mo Judd, size 10.5 long.
You know if any other place in town carries that brand of stockings?
No, I'm sure they don't, Ranger.
Thanks, ma'am. I reckon we can let you folks go home now. Mr. Harper, will you phone us as soon as you find out that typewriter number?
Sure will, Ranger.
I'll get my deputy to give you a ride. Sandy?
Yeah?
Would you take Mr. and Ms. Harper home in your car?
Right.
Thanks. Come on, honey.
Oh, I'm sure be glad to get home.
What do you want to do tomorrow, Jace? Check with the manager of the drive-in theater?
Yeah, I'd also like to talk to the owner of the shop where those stockings were bought.
Now, Jace, I can understand why you wanted that typewriter number, but why did you want to know all about the stockings? It's just possible that the girl in that hold-up team will come in and try and exchange the stolen stockings for a different size.
She wouldn't have to change them if she wears the same size as Mrs. Harper.
I don't think she does. The boy who robbed the Harpers is short. From what they said about him, I doubt if he's the type who'd go with a girl taller than he is. Certainly not one as tall as Mrs. Harper.
Well, suppose the girl is short. She could still take a large stocking size.
Yeah, but the ones Mrs. Harper bought were 10 and a half long. Nobody but a tall person would want to wear them.
You could be right, Jace. I'll phone the woman who owns the dress shop first thing in the morning.
It's only a chance, but I believe it's worth a try. The following morning was Sunday. The lab crew had completed its work and found nothing that would help us. At 10 a.m., the sheriff called Mrs. Herger, the owner of the dress shop, and asked her to come down and open up her store. She agreed to meet us in 15 minutes. We went there and waited.
Main Street sure is quiet Sunday morning.
Uh-huh.
You'd never believe this street was chock full of cars yesterday.
Didn't Mrs. Herger say she was coming right down?
Sure, Jace, if you know how women are, she'll be along. Sure hope she'll be able to locate the sales slip on those stockings.
Yeah, we're lucky today's Sunday. If the girl does try to exchange them, she won't be able to do it till tomorrow.
I believe that's Mrs. Herger's car now, coming around the corner. Yep, that's her.
Hello, Sheriff.
Well, howdy, Miss Herger.
Oh, excuse me for being late. But Amory took off in the car and I had to wait till he got back.
That's all right, ma'am.
That Amory. Every time I need the car, he's got it.
Sorry we had to trouble you in the first place.
Oh, no trouble. You wanted to see the sales slip I made out for Ruth Harper on those stockings. Is that right, Ranger?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, let's go in the store. Let's see, where's that key? Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I always forget that burglar alarm. Here, let me get my other key and turn that thing off. Ah, there. Oh, lucky I got a couple of police officers with me. Somebody'd have me arrested for breaking in my own store.
Would you like us to wait here while you look up that slip?
No. Come on over to the counter. It might take me a while to find it, seeing as how Mrs. Harper doesn't have a charge account. I'll just get my sales book. She came in here about 4 o'clock yesterday, didn't she?
I believe she said it was about 5.
Yeah, I remember now. You know what size she bought?
10 and a half long.
Let's see. No, that's medium length. Ah, well, here it is. 2 pairs of 10 and a half long. She gave me a $10 bill.
What's the number on the sales slip, Mrs. Herger?
5040. You want to take it along, Ranger?
No, ma'am. We just want to remember it. A girl may come in and try to exchange those stockings. If she does, we'd like you to phone us and keep her here till we come.
Well, how am I going to do that?
We leave that up to you, but it's important that she stays in this store till we get here.
Well, when do you figure she'll show up?
Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. Maybe not at all. You think you can handle it?
Well, I never tried anything like this before, but I'll do my best.
When we left Mrs. Herger's store, we went to see the manager of the drive-in theater. He didn't recall seeing anyone who answered the vague description of the boy which the Harpers had given us. But he did tell us the names of a number of people who had been at the theater the night before. We questioned them, and several remembered seeing a boy with his sleeves rolled up to the shoulders. He'd been with a young girl in a convertible. We took statements from these witnesses. Around 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon, we had them come into the sheriff's office to sign their statements. Here you are, Mr. Hammer.
Thank you.
Sign all 6 copies, please.
Yep.
Miss Lindsay, here's your statement. Would you show her where to sign it, Sheriff?
Sure, Jace.
I'll get it.
No.
Ranger Pearson.
This is Mrs. Herger. I can't talk loud.
What is it, ma'am?
There's a girl here with the same stockings I sold to Mrs. Harper. She wants to exchange them.
We'll be right over.
I don't know how long I can keep her, Ranger. You better hurry.
There's 3 girls in there, Jace. Any of them could be the one we're after.
Yeah.
I don't see Miss Herger.
There she is now, coming toward the front of the store.
Oh, yeah.
Ranger!
Where is she, ma'am?
Look over my shoulder, straight down the counter. See the one at the end with the mousy hair?
Uh-huh. Where are the stockings she brought in?
On the counter, right next to where she's standing. Sales slip is there, too.
Thanks, Mrs. Herger.
Hey, you were right about her not being tall.
Yeah. I think she's got an idea we're coming after her.
Yeah, looks nervous, all right. I don't think she'll try to run for it, do you, Jim?
In one direction she can go, right out this way. Excuse me, miss.
Hey!
We'd like to see those stockings.
They're mine.
If you don't mind, we'll take a look at the sales slip.
Now, there it is on the counter, Jase. I'll get it.
You leave them stockings alone.
Sales slip checks out 5040.
Give me them stockings.
Just a minute, young lady. Where'd you get them?
They're mine.
We think they were stolen.
Well, I didn't steal them.
Maybe not, but we'd like to hear all about how you did get them. Come on, miss.
In just a moment, we will continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jase Pearson. We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers and our authentic story, Drive-In.
We took the girl with us. In the car, we learned that her name was Grace Maud Compton. She lived in a house on the outskirts of town with her mother, who worked as a waitress in an all-night diner. When we questioned Grace Maud about Saturday night's robbery, she was sullen and denied knowing anything about it. We decided to take her out and discuss the matter with her mother. On the way, we tried to talk to her some more. Her sullenness changed to hysteria.
I didn't steal no stockings, and I didn't rob nothing from no people in the car.
Your boyfriend did, and you helped.
I ain't got a boyfriend.
Where were you Saturday night, Grace Maud?
I keep telling you I was home.
But you can't prove it.
Why do I have to prove it? Why do you keep picking on me?
Nobody's picking on you.
You are so. Everybody's always picking on me.
Your mother's not going to be very happy when she finds out you're in trouble.
I ain't in trouble. Besides, you can't talk to Ma. She's sleeping.
I'm afraid we'll have to wake her up.
Ma don't like to be woke up. She gets sore when she's woke up before getting up time.
That's your place up ahead?
Yeah.
Nice little house.
That dump.
Bet your Ma works hard to keep it up that nice.
Don't start preaching on me. Everybody's always preaching at me.
Go ahead, Grace Maud.
I ain't going in there. I ain't.
Come on.
No. She'll start yelling at me. She'll pick on me just like you're doing.
Come on, let's go.
No.
Now look, Grace Maud. If you haven't done anything, you don't have to be afraid.
I ain't afraid.
Well, we'll just have a little talk with you and your mother.
There's nothing she can tell you.
We'll see about that. Come on.
Told you I couldn't see another night. I ain't afraid of you or her.
All right, to go in?
Yeah. Door's unlocked.
All right, go get your mother.
I didn't know she...
That's you, Grace Maud?
Yeah?
Who's out there with you?
But I want to talk to you.
Who is it?
Police officers, ma'am.
I'll be right
up. You see, I'll catch you. You woke her up, and I'm going to catch you.
Do you have anything you want to tell us before your mother comes out?
Can't you go picking on me again? Why are you going to...
All right, Grace Maud.
She's the way I look. I worked all night, and I was sleeping.
I'm sorry we had to wake you up, ma'am.
What's this all about?
I didn't do nothing.
Be quiet, Grace Maud. What's the trouble, Ranger?
We think your daughter might have had something to do with a holdup on Saturday night.
I didn't, I tell you. I didn't.
Holdup? What makes you think Grace Maud's mixed up in anything like that?
She tried to exchange a couple of pairs of stockings in a store in town today. They were stolen along with some money and a typewriter.
But I didn't steal them. Don't let him tell you I stole them, Ma.
You be quiet. Are you sure they were stolen?
There's no doubt about it, ma'am.
Well, I've tried to bring you up right. I haven't been with her as much as I should be, working like I do, nice. But I can't believe she'd do anything real bad.
I didn't, Ma.
We think she helped her boyfriend in the robbery.
Boyfriend? You've been going out with that Al again.
No,
I thought I told you to stay away from him.
I ain't seen him in a long time. I swear I ain't.
What's Al's last name, Mrs. Compton?
I don't know. He works on one of the ranches near here. I didn't like the way he acted with Grace Maud. He's too old for her. Been around too much. Why, she's just a kid.
I ain't a kid. I'm already grown up.
You're too young to be running around with men.
Well, you go around with men, don't you?
Why, you... Fire with you. You talk to me like that again, I'll slap your head off. You hear me? You hear?
There you go. You're picking on me again.
What's Al's last name, Grace Maud?
You're lying.
I'm not. I don't know his last name, and I ain't been out with
Maybe
him.
Not, but you're not going out of this house again at night until I tell you.
Oh, that ain't fair. You promised me I could go to the double feature tonight.
I don't care what I promised. You're not going.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Ranger. You wanted to ask me some questions?
Mrs. Compton, we don't want to hold your daughter if she's innocent. But she hasn't told us where she got those stockings. We hoped you'd make her understand how serious this is.
Grace Mullet, I want you to tell me the truth. Where'd you get those stockings? Where did you get them? I want the truth.
I found them.
Where'd you find them, Grace Mullet?
On the street, outside the drugstore.
Why didn't you tell us this before?
Because I knew you'd think I stole them.
Are you telling the truth?
Sure, I'm telling the truth. That's what I get for trying to be nice.
Nice? What are you talking about?
I was going to give them to you for your birthday. I found the stockings. They're too big for you, so I was trying to change them for your size.
You sure you weren't getting them for yourself?
No, I wasn't. I was just trying to surprise you. I never had no money to buy you a decent present.
Well, you might if you got a job once in a while.
All I was trying to do was give you something nice for your birthday, and nobody believes me.
Grace Maud, were you really going to give me those stockings?
Sure I was. And something else you don't know. I've been looking for a job. All last week I was looking.
Grace Maud.
Since I found them stockings this morning, I've been thinking how you were going to like them. You don't have no pretty stockings. You don't even believe me.
I don't know, Ranger. I think she's telling the truth.
I am.
I think she is, too, Mrs. Compton. Looks like we could have made a mistake.
Well, we had no way of knowing.
We didn't mean to cause either of you any embarrassment.
Forget it, Ranger. Grace Maud, I'm sorry I yelled at you before. I appreciate you thinking about my birthday.
I'll get you something real nice. You just wait. Ma?
Yeah?
Can I go to that double feature tonight? I promise I won't ask you to go again until I get a job. Can I, Ma?
Well, all right. I'll drop you on my way to work.
Gee, thanks, Ma.
I reckon we'll be going, ma'am. Come on, Sheriff.
Bye, Ranger.
Bye, Grace Maud. We didn't believe a word Grace Maud had said. She'd fooled her mother, and we wanted her to think she'd fooled us. We're pretty sure her plans went beyond seeing a movie that night, and we hoped sooner or later she'd lead us to her boyfriend. We waited near the house in our car till a little after 7 that evening. Grace Maud and her mother came out and got into an old jalopy. We followed them into town. Mrs. Compton let Grace Maud out in front of the theater. We parked half a block down the street and waited.
I reckon we got ourselves a lot of time to kill before she comes out of that picture show.
Uh-huh.
What if she doesn't try to get in touch with her boyfriend tonight?
We just keep watching until she does.
Maybe I could get a couple of deputies to stay. Chase, she didn't go in that movie house after all.
No, she's starting down the street.
Yeah, right toward us. If she sees us, we're
finished. Get down in the seat as far as you can.
Yeah. Lucky you haven't got your horse trailer hooked on back or she'd spot us, sure.
Yeah, let's just hope she doesn't see the radio aerials.
I can hear her now. Sounds like she's still heading this way.
Yeah. Keep it low, Sheriff.
I was sure she'd notice us.
Where's she going?
She just turned the corner into a side street.
Come on.
You reckon she's going someplace to meet him now?
It's hard to say.
I've been thinking about this Al fella Grace Maud's mother mentioned today. Wondering if he's the one we're after.
So have I. Didn't want to ask too many questions about him. Watch it going around the corner, Sheriff.
Stay, Jace. With that fellow in the convertible, it's her. They're pulling away.
Stay here and watch where they go. I'll get the car and pick you up in a few seconds. By the time I picked up the sheriff, the convertible was out of sight. The sheriff thought they'd headed toward the main highway leading out of town. He was right. We spotted them just past the town limits. After 3 miles of hard driving, we began to gain on them. 5 minutes later, we were 100 yards behind the convertible.
They see us, Jace. He's stepping it up a little.
Yeah, it's just what we're going to do.
Want me to try a shot at their tires?
I don't think so. We'll pull alongside of them.
We're making it.
Yeah. Yell at them to pull over.
Pull over, you! Pull over to the side!
Don't be crazy, Thomas!
Watch yourself. He's going to shoot.
That dirty little...
Hang on, Sheriff. We'll force him over.
He's making a break for that brush.
Stay with the girl. I'll get him.
Put that out, Ranger!
You keep quiet, Grace Mullet.
Drop the gun, you.
And what I think of you, Ranger?
I'm warning you. If you don't want to get hurt, come out of that brush with your hands up.
No, he never hit me.
Sheriff! Hadn't been for you being so dumb, I wouldn't be here now.
I don't want to hurt you, son. Drop that gun and come out with your hands up. This is your last chance.
Yeah? Oh, my shoulder.
Give me that gun. Now get up.
Off my shoulder.
Get up. Let's go.
Oh, he hurt me. He hurt you.
Well, listen to that OEZ yapping. Shut up, you big mouth!
Come on.
Oh, you're so weak.
Oh, you catch on real quick.
Handcuff them together, Sheriff.
I wish there was something I could do for you, Al.
You've done enough. I wish I had my gun. I'd put a slug right through your stupid head.
Come on, Sheriff. Let's get these two back to town.
In just a moment, we will tell you the results of the case you have just heard.
NBC means comedy. And Tuesday's the day this week for you to start laughing with Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis and Red Skelton. That's right. This Tuesday evening, you'll hear both these great comedy programs when they begin the new fall season on NBC and this station. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis will have Rosemary Clooney as their guest this Tuesday evening. And Miss Clooney will sing her popular version of Botcha Me. Red Skelton promises a visit from Junior, the Mean Widow Kid, and Deadeye, America's favorite cowpoke. Thursday evening, don't be surprised when you hear Truth or Consequences, for this popular program has switched days and is now a regular Thursday evening feature on the NBC radio network. And today is Sunday. There's more big news for listeners. Theater Guild on the Air returns today with Helen Hayes and Joseph Cotton, co-starred in the Theater Guild production of The Wisteria Trees. Another important program note is this one. Dragnet has moved to Sunday. Yes, hear Dragnet tonight on NBC. Now back to Tales of the Texas Rangers.
And now, here are the results of the case you have just heard.
A typewriter identified as the one stolen from Jim Harper was found among Al Bennett's possessions. Bennett confessed to the robbing of Harper and his wife, naming Grace Maud Compton as his accomplice. Grace Maud was sent to the state school for girls at Gainesville. Al Bennett was convicted of armed robbery and is now serving a 25-year term at Huntsville Penitentiary.
Now, here is an important announcement from the star of our show, Joel McRae.
Folks, tonight marks the concluding performance, for a while at least, of Tales of the Texas Rangers. We've really enjoyed bringing these stories to you and hope that someday we'll be back with you again. To NBC and its affiliated stations, to Colonel Homer Garrison, Jr., Chief of the Texas Rangers, to Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez, our technical advisor, and to all the Texas Rangers and members of the Department of Public Safety, our grateful thanks. And we're particularly grateful to those of you who've taken the time to send us your cards and letters. After all, they are the only sure way of telling that you liked our show. Thanks, folks. Thanks a lot. Good night.
You have just heard Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Charles E. Israel, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keith. Hal Gibney speaking.
Tonight, attend the premiere of Theater Guild on the Air over NBC.
Thanks for joining us for Tales of the Texas Rangers with Joel McRae. This is your host and storyteller, John Hagedorn. This is 1001 Stories from the Old West. Reviews are always appreciated. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll be back soon.